Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
In your direction of the piece, do you have a concept to try to excite a new cast about this particular story? Do you have a take on it that perhaps is a little different? Or?
Growing up at the Scala, when I grew up at the Scala, and I went there as a student in 1960, means that you grew up with respect for the music. It means that you grew up with thinking that Verdi or Donizetti or Bizet or you name it knew what they were doing and that you were not important. The important thing was to listen to the music and respect the idea behind the composer's choice of subject and the way his librettist dealt with whatever the source was and how they turned it into opera. So that's why I loathe this word concept.
I'm terribly sorry.
With the first chord, we must scare the public. It's the most important. Don't think to what comes after. Think just to the pump. An explosion.
Looking for truth on the stage is, to me, is extremely important. It's a question of listening to the words. It's a question of listening to what the other person is saying to you and reacting to it. I think one of the most difficult things for actors and for singers is to make it appear that they're hearing these words for the very first time. And if you can concentrate on that, on concentrate on the interaction between two people rather than just the stand and sing these well-known tunes at the footlights approach, then you start getting some dramatic truth on stage.
Even the José side of me that doesn't exist in myself, if I'm going to hit her, I'm not going to hit her with a closed fist.
No.
I'm going to slap her upside the head.
Okay, I'm going to threaten it this way.
No. Is he a type of man who's going to slap the woman?
I don't feel violence in this point.
Okay,
but do you want to be violent?
It's really just the frustration of him trying to shut her up because...
I like more of this...
What about just the challenge without the violence?
This is already very challenging.
Yes.
This says that I'm going to do something very bad to you.
Yeah.
I'm
basing it very much on the Merry May, on the sense of the fatality of the meeting between these two individuals. I see José as a weak man who is extremely violent to hide his weakness. I don't see him as an operatic tenor hero. I don't see Carmen as a common whore or a prostitute. I see her as a very strong woman who will do what she wants and pay the price if she has to. In a time and in a period in which, and in a society where women were expected to step back and allow men to direct proceedings, and Carmen has no intention of that happening. The natural reaction of men to that sort of strength in a woman is to declassify them as a whore or a prostitute or something, and I certainly don't see Carmen as that.
My Carmen is different from other Carmens. If you describe her with colors, I would say red. But a red which gives you light, brings you fire and energy. And she is absolutely unpredictable and surprising. She can be childish and innocent, really, because she's very young, my Carmen is young. But she started life very early, so she has a lot of experiences. And she was raised in the street, but she still has dignity, and she can be considered a very strong lady. And I want to repeat lady, because she is lady. I mean, she can be both. She can be very raffinated, but also very rough and cruel, because this is what life taught her. As every girl, she's looking for a prince. But we are creating all these princes, you know, and she had also this ideal. And sometimes we just see somebody and we think that's him, and I would go for him. And she turns on all her charms, all her charming moments, the talent of seductive, and she's like a snake in a good way, you know, going around him. But after, at the end, comes out that he's just a coward. And that was just her imagination.
Sonia Frizzella, director, has focused definitely on the truth of the piece, the truth of the characters, and the honesty in it. I have always felt that it's very much that kind of piece, though. This character, for me, is troubled and violent. He has so many problems. But the one thing that this music allows is that honesty, this communication. The way Bizet wrote this opera, it is so parlando, it is so natural in its expression. Everything's, you just say it. There's, the style of opera doesn't get in the way of telling the story. And so having Sonia embrace that on every aspect of our characterizations is very nice, because it complements that, the entire setup that Bizet has created here. As the character changes, so does Don José's music. And I sing the first half of the opera. It is beautifully lyric. You sense that he has, you know, questions and troubles and hasn't figured anything out in life. But the music doesn't really, it has glimpses of this violent nature that's in his character. And then as Acts 3 and 4 progress, and he starts to just devolve into a total mess, so does his music. His music gets more and more violent, more and more dramatic. And as a singer, it's so exciting to have that arc vocally.
I'm finding it really challenging and delightful to play Mikaela under the direction of Sonia Frizzell, because we're finding ways to deepen her simplicity and her devotion, which I think is much more difficult to play rather than just the vixen, where it's a complex character. Yes, is much easier to play than someone who would otherwise read as very simple, when in fact it's not so simple. The trick is to develop her immediately and have the audience be able to identify what's unique about her, what's strong about her. And it's nice because when she does come back in the third act in her aria, that if all that is established, it's quite a magical moment.
Escamillo is definitely one of the most testosterone-filled roles in all of opera, really. You have to understand that in the day, toreadors were the superstars of the Spanish people, especially in the golden age of Belmonte and Joselito. I suppose if you were to relate that to people nowadays, or a person nowadays, I guess it would be like a David Beckham type of thing. Just a huge superstars. A lot of people get the wrong idea about the character of Escamillo and think that they have to show testosterone through power and physicality and tension, when it is rather a sense of power through skill and elegance of the character.
this production, the Carmen dances a lot. She dances a little bit in some of her other numbers besides the Gypsy Dance, the Chanson Bohème. And she's having our wonderful Mercedes Enfrasquita dance in their number. So dance has been incorporated in a different way in that it is not, it is part of the living performance of the characters as opposed to being a spectacle. Part of that process is about learning to know my raw material and finding out what they already do well, what skills did they walk in the door with, what is their personality like, and finding steps that enhance those natural skills and enhance their natural personality. So Priti studied Indian dance when she was young, and part of Indian dance are very specific hand movements. And flamenco has very specific hand movements. So Priti came in with already developed hands, and she has developed just absolutely beautiful handwork for this production.
And go, run, run, step, step, pow. I think you should give yourself more steps.
More steps.
Now, Rachel, she, I don't know if she wants me to tell you this or not, but she was like the state gymnastic champion in her school days, and I didn't know that when I first came in. We slowly found out about that later, and once I knew that, I thought, now, if she was a gymnast when she was younger, what movements in flamenco would she be naturally akin to as a gymnast? And the first thing that came to mind was like a backbend. I bet she can do a phenomenal backbend. But then as we continued to work, I was working with Priti and we were working on turns, which Priti isn't as used to. And Rachel was like, oh yeah, yeah, my spotting is fine. I'm fine with spotting, which is a technique that you use in turns. And I was like, she already knows. If Rachel already knows how to turns, maybe turns would be something that she would be naturally akin to. And so we started working with turns as well. And I'm very proud to say she can whip out 3 turns in a row at speed, in character. She can just nail those turns. And I don't know that much about opera singers, but I bet there are not many of them that can do that.
Really, it's been the highlight of my day, every day coming here. So it was not something I was expecting, to fall in love with it so fast and to realize that actually dancing on stage, worrying about, oh my gosh, I'm really going to embarrass myself, it actually has turned into, I can't wait to get up there for our dancing, which really, I don't know if anyone but Christina could have done for us. Right, Rachel?
It's true.
So it's been really a lot of fun and challenging. We've been really sore in strange places for the last couple of weeks. And it's been exhausting, but it's just been a new learning experience and so much fun. Did not expect it.
I think one of the other good things that we've been able to do with the flamenco dance, there's a very proud posture, and it actually helps us in our breathing. So that's been a very nice thing, and Christina has always been aware. She says, you know, singing is your highest priority here, but we want to make you look authentic. And so since we do have this broad chest, open position for the flamenco look, it's actually also helping with our breathing.
Stage combat is teaching actors to fight safely. They are creating the illusion of violence. And what I do is I actually teach them, I have 2 jobs. I have to teach them techniques to be safe. I have to teach them how to move. I have to teach them how to hold the weapons, how to attack and parry and move safely. But the other job I have is kind of more relating to the director. And that is, as Ilya Kazan said, directing is putting psychology into behavior. My job is mostly behavior, but at the same time, the kind of behavior I pick, the type of attack or the type of movement can very much influence the story that the director is going for. In this case, we've got a Don José who the director wants to be always suppressing this violent urge. And so when I was putting together fights for him, everything he does is very violent. It's very large. It's big sweeping movements. It's not tactical and precise like a fencer would use. It's much more of a brawler and much more of a violent, almost tooth and claw kind of a fighter, as opposed to someone elegant like Escamillo or someone aristocratic like Zuniga.
There, and I go, say it. One, two,
and go. When we get to do roles like this that have knives that are with blades this long and swords that we get to be very violent with, it's a lot of fun and a lot of work. It creates all kinds of challenges because I'm not 30 anymore, and as I've recently discovered, I'm not 40 anymore, and I'm not even 50 anymore. So as I rehearse these fights, I notice it more. And to find the balance of not winding yourself right before you have to sing a big line, etc., is part of what we have to figure out. We always have to figure that out with a role like this where you're just so passionate and you're physical also in your acting. You have to find the ways to not let that affect your breathing and and get into your voice.
When you grab, do me a favor, you can make the fists, you can also make the monkey paw. Where you take fingers and you tuck them in here. This way you get this and you don't get the old-fashioned circa 1974 hair pull.
One of the things that I'm doing in this opera that I really enjoy is I'm doing a large group fight scene. I'm doing a large brawl with when the women pour out of the cigarette factory after Carmen has cut up a girl, has scratched her, or in the novella, cut her face.
As opposed to making fists and putting them against my hand, which I'm seeing a little bit of... Go ahead and pull my hair. I'm seeing a little bit of this. The math on this is kind of staggering, so please don't do this.
I actually started with about 15 minutes of just teaching them some basic combinations that then the actors could just turn around, the singers could just turn around and place in different orders. They could place, okay, we do this, we work on this thing, we move this much, we've got these moves that fit together, and they can kind of create their own little milieu, their own little fight in that sense.
Front choke. Hands go to here. Again, you're not actually up here, your hands are actually going down. Victim grabs my wrists, hugs them down onto her chest, tucks her chin. Actually, tuck your chin a little bit forward. There you go. Make sense?
Yeah.
You've all done this before?
No.
Why is that funny?
Yeah. Once I had that, then I kind of knew when they had to move, set some musical cues for them to move, and ran it that way and let them kind of build their own things. Then I layered in the guards pulling them apart, and then finally I layered in the guards holding them back. Kind of like how they used to do old animation, where they would do some, they'd do the background, and then they would do one character, and they'd lay it on, and they would do another character, and they would lay it on, and then they would add movement, and they would lay that on. That's kind of how I like to work, because then it's very simple, it's very easy to communicate. It keeps it slow without getting too fat, without getting too crazy, and when performed, it can be pretty spectacular.
What we can do is actually, if we want to start it back a little ways, we could actually rehearse those real quick as well. Does that sound good?
Yes.
And what I can do is I can follow along with the score and I can yell appropriate actions.
Ma l'ha cambiata, perché non piaceva alla
Mr. Muller and I met in, well, we were both extremely young, wet behind the ears, in the Verona Arena in the summer season of 1962. So we go back a long way. He is a man who knows the opera inside out and back to front and knows singers. We sort of grew up and matured together, and we spent the best years of Claudio Abbado at the Scala with people like Freni and Giaurov and Cappuccilli. So we have a very similar mental background in our approach.
Many, many years ago, I was pretty young, and I was conducting Werther in Torino, which is an important theater in Italy. And you know, when you're young, you always try to give, to find the best, to do this crescendo, to do this diminuendo. I was exaggerating. People, the public in Italy is very different than American people, very different. And they shouted something to me. They didn't like it. And you know what they shouted? Maestro, it is not Wagner, this one. Because I was overdoing. Years passed. I think I grew, I must admit. And of course, I will try to be elegant, because the music is elegant. But my main aim will be to find out the drama that lives in this opera, which is really terrific. It is terrific visually, the story, but also the music. There are a lot of dance rhythm, but there is something tragic behind. So it is not an opera just to amuse. It is an opera to go home and saying, oh, I felt something. I felt an emotion.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.